Hi, this is John Goyack, Master Coach at Reframe Your Game. I'd like to start off a series of radio broadcasts on Blog Talk Radio to really pass on to entrepreneurs and game changers out there lessons. And it's really about lessons that I've learned over 34 years of doing work with big and medium businesses, and how you access and leverage the best of those experiences and forget the rest of the stuff and avoid the rest of the mistakes, so you can scale that down to your business, to your world, to your space. Because face it, the world's changed. The big companies are interesting, but they're behemoths. The world's moving much faster. Agility is everything. And we need to move faster and faster, identify targets, identify changes, implement them quickly, and change the game. That's what this is all about in this new market. And so the old school things aren't working. I mean, face it, there's a lot of clients who are out there who have a Cold War mentality. And, you know, that game's over. That game's changed. It's about doing things quicker and faster, getting more leverage, getting better value quickly to the marketplace. And speed to market is really, really super critical. So what I'd like to do is talk about a couple of things today. And I think the first one I'd like to talk about is losing. That's a horrible thing to start with, I guess. But in fact, it's really important. We've done more than a couple dozen win-loss analysis for our clients. And it's really amazing. The number one reason people lose is because of lack of customer intimacy. So if a multi-billion dollar Fortune 100 or 500 company can sit there and look at their past performance and say, geez, the reason I lost this thing after I spent $1 million, $2 million, $10 million, $20 million building a campaign to win something, sometimes it's as much as $100 million, guys. That's a lot of cash. And to walk away from that experience saying, geez, we just didn't know our customer, is criminal. I mean, that's just a sin. So how do we distill that down to get on our playing field where we need to be more agile, quicker, faster, and really run circles around the behemoths? Because that's where we are today. In this entrepreneurial world, that's where we have to be. So the question becomes, okay, why wouldn't somebody know their customer? How could you not know your customer after you work a project with him or court him, if you will, for a year or 2 years? And you sit there and you go through all your briefings, you go through all your designs, you walk through all the, whatever you do, however you pitch them, and you lose because you don't have any customer intimacy. So let's take a dive into what customer intimacy really means. Customer intimacy means what does my customer think about the world? What's his worldview? How does he see this competition? How does he see this product he needs, this problem he has, this challenge he has, and what's he going to do about it? And so he's sitting there worried. Think about it. You're driving to work every day. You have one challenge, man. You got to go solve this frigging problem. And you have 20 guys coming in with, you know, 20, 30 page PowerPoint, death by PowerPoint charts and briefings to tell you about how good they are. So how likely are you, turn your hat around, how likely are you to sit there and say, well, that's really interesting. You're not, because it doesn't address your basic need set. And truthfully, the mistake that most people make is they're so in love with their product, they're so in love with their portfolio, they're so in love with their answer that they are not listening, and they don't understand, and they don't walk around in their customers' moccasins to really understand how they view the world. So they go in and they say, yeah, we're going to nuke this thing, or it's going to be a scorched earth sort of a strategy. But truthfully, at the beginning of the end of the day, what really counts is how you align with them. How do you create that critical alignment with them? Because that's one of the first steps to intimacy. You have all people talking about rapport and things like that. That's all part of the game. But at the end of the day, what you really want is you want to be aligned with your customer. You want to think like he thinks. You want to be able to anticipate what they have and be able to come in and be a thought partner with them instead of coming in there and selling your wares. And think about it, that's a whole different game plan. That's a whole different strategy. So when you do that, when you walk in and you say to them, I've looked at your problem, and here's how we think you view the world, or we've looked at your problem, and there's three different ways of addressing this set of challenges, and here's what we think the pros and cons of each of those are. What do you think? Immediately, you do a couple of things. One, you engage with them. Two, you show you care. Three, you show you're a real partner because you've thought through the problem instead of coming in and asking him a bunch of questions and having him do your work for you, which is always a mistake. And four, you've distinguished yourself from everybody else. And we'll talk about distinctions and discrimination a little bit later in the podcast. But I'm here to tell you that if I do that, if I really think my problem through from my customer's perspective, whether he's building a satellite or whether he's trying to put out a website, there's so many common things that have to be addressed. So if you're coming in with an answer, you're a solutioneer, let's say, because that's what we all are, right? We come in, we assess the critical battle space, if you will, and we advise our clients or we sell our clients on what they must do to succeed. So what does that mean? I think what it means, I know what it means, is that you really come in with value add. You come in as someone who has contributed value. And I tell you what, if you do that, how can you not have customer intimacy? How can you not start building that level of trust? Because face it, a lot of these engagements these days, there's so many people out there doing so many of the same things. And I ask my clients all the time, do you think this other company can't do this? You've got this really cool stuff, man. You got this really cool shit. But do you really think this other company cannot do this? Honest to God, do you think the customer thinks that he can't get 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 guys who are able to do this? So if that's the case, then what's really discriminating you from the other guys? Is it price? Is it your good looks? Is it whatever? You better understand that or you're going to lose. And so really to be able to understand, take a look back and say, find out what didn't work before, what failed in the past and why, and how would I go change that? And we'll talk about hot washing meetings and interchanges later on in the podcast as well. But I got to tell you that once you start to build that level of trust, and once you start to intrigue your customer, once you start to capture his imagination, you then start the formula of customer intimacy, because what they want, they've got a real problem. I mean, they don't care how good your company is. They don't care how much money your company makes. They don't care how good your boxes are, how shiny they are, how good your products are, your health foods, whatever it is. They really don't care. They see the world through their problem set and their problem aperture. And if you don't look at your world through that same aperture, you're going to miss the boat because you're going to be speaking in Greek and he's going to be listening in Latin. And that's going to be a miss. And that's why customer intimacy is the number one reason people lose, because they so are in love with their ideas. I've got it. We even have clients say, I don't care what the customer says he wants. This is what he needs. Wow. That's the height of arrogance. And when somebody's arrogant to you, how do you react? Because face it, all this is about how you make somebody feel. It doesn't matter how good your stuff is or that it's, you know, it's smoked super hot or whatever. Truthfully, what matters is how you make them feel. Can they trust you? Do they believe you? Do they believe you can get the job done for them? Do they believe you get the game and you have the game to get it done for them? And that's what really customer intimacy is about. And so, again, I've had clients who say, this thing is so friggin' hot. This is the best on the planet. This is the next generation of that. I say, well, do they really want that? Well, we don't know. What do they really want? Well, you know, they're looking for this, and this is their problem, blah, blah, blah. Is that really their problem? What are they trying to solve? Well, they need this box. They need this performance. They need this. So what are they trying to solve? What's a real problem? And often, it's so simple, it's criminal that people miss it. But you know, they're not looking. Think about it. Your customer isn't trying to buy a box or he's trying to buy a capability. He's not trying to buy a thing. He's trying to buy something that solves a problem. And whether it's a problem for, outfitting a gym or building a satellite that has certain capability, they're looking for somebody who understands how they play the game, what their game is, how they have to fight the war. And that's our jobs as entrepreneurs and business builders. That's what we do. Rainmakers and business builders and entrepreneurs have the absolute scepter to go out and mantle, if you will, to go out and create new value, new things, connect dots, connect all the dots that aren't there. And if you can't do that, then you got a couple of challenges. One is the big guys are going to Bigfoot you, which is bad, or you're never going to be able to establish your credibility. So once you start having really compelling conversations with your customer that show that you demonstrate to them that you really have game, then you start to hit home runs. And that's just so super critical in everything we do. And I know I use the word supercritical a lot, but I think in terms of excessive force, Because why not win by 1,000 points? That's what we do, right? So when I take a step back and I look at the last three outings I had with my customers, think about that. If you looked at it and said, well, I made 2 sales and I missed one, or I made no sales and why? Do you ever stand back, take a step back and say, how did I connect with my customer? How did I really demonstrate that I looked at the world from his perspective. I had his game in mind. I had his outcomes in mind. Because truthfully, so many times, I'm sorry, people go in and it's all about them. When I advise my customers, I tell them, dude, do not mention your company's name seriously in this briefing or this conversation. And they go, holy God, this is all we got. I said, no, you want to go in, you want to create the relationship. And at the end of it, if you've got your logo on it, that's fine. But don't keep pushing a name, push a solution. Don't keep pushing some sort of a logo. Push an answer. Push a relationship. Push something that spawns conversation. Otherwise, you're just walking in there and you're one of many people and you're playing the commodity wars. And commodity wars are hard to win. There's a lot of blood around your ankles when you do that, because people, when you get into commodity wars, it's about price, right? It's not about value. And there's a real difference between value and price. So when we go out to play the game, I would encourage all of us to think about how do I give this customer maximum value, and how does he know that that's what he's getting? Because that's where we have the disconnect. That's where things don't tie together. Because again, people say, well, what's your price? What's your cost? What's your hourly? What rate? Whatever. That's all irrelevant. You say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Isn't it about winning? Isn't it about killing targets? Isn't it about doing the right thing? Isn't it about just dominating this market space? So what do you care? Now, you can be arrogant like that, and that takes true customer rapport, but the bottom line message is, when they focus on commodity, or they focus on you're just one of the other guys, you haven't demonstrated your value, you don't have any customer intimacy, and you haven't demonstrated your thought leadership or thought partnership. And if you can't do that, then you're just one of the guys. You're one of 20. You're one of 30. And so you got to ask yourself, why would I pick me? God, I'm just somebody else in the market. So I'm going to bid, I'm going to put something in it's going to cost them 10% less. So then you get into the, how low can you go? The existential limbo problem that so many people get wrapped up in and lose because their cost is wrong, or they just don't get it, or they haven't really demonstrated that they understand, or haven't communicated to the customer, or helped the customer think through his real problem. Because it's often the problem is not cost. Often the problem has a lot to do with risk. So if I'm just in there as a commodity, I'm just another guy doing another thing, and I haven't really explored the cost, or excuse me, the risk quadrant, then what am I doing? And if I can't explore the risk quadrant, with integrity and with any intelligence and any thought, then I can't advise this client or customer what he needs to do, what he needs to fear. And face it, why do you do what you do? People do a lot of things out of fear. Think about it. These people, your customer drives to work every day, and he's got, some of them have white knuckle experiences driving to work, right? And they're worried about how they're going to solve this problem today. So you walk in and you've got this shiny new toy that does all this cool stuff that really they could give a shit less about, because they've got to figure out how it solves, it fits into their space and reduces their risk. So when you take a step back, turn your head around and look at the world from your customer's perspective, you now have the framework, or at least the starting point, to create real customer intimacy and do create the difference and begin to talk, have the conversation that enables you to get yourself in alignment with your customer. Now, it's really important to help people understand, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes we've dealt with clients who've new to the game. They don't have any track record. They don't have any experience. A bunch of young guys, well-meaning people, and they're just going out there, and they've been told to go buy something. And long time ago, we had a project where it was an entire new staff, and they were buying an absolutely national security critical system for the nation. Okay, and they came in and they're sitting there saying, "How do I buy satellites and this and that and blah, and ground systems and the like?" And so there were three competitors. And one of the competitors was the incumbent. One of the competitors was this high-tech, cool tech, really cool tool, cool, shiny new toy sort of company. And then we had the axiomatic loser, actually, because hadn't been in the business for a while, had built the original system that was performed okay, but they moved off to somebody else in the interim. And so you say, okay, now, so how do we frame this? How do we create the level of customer intimacy and conversation we need to have to create that rapport, to create that understanding, that alignment with our customer, to make sure that they really get what we're really talking about? So we encourage the customer to have a series of technical interchange meetings with all of us. We said, hey, let's all come in and pitch you. So one of the incumbent came in and said, you know, we're the best, you need us, we're doing it now, we'll do it again. That doesn't sell really well to people, you know, if they've never seen you in action before, and it sounds like an empty promise, right? But that was the course that they took. We're there, we're doing it now, and we can do it again. The other competitor came in and said, wow, you need the next generation of technology. You need stuff that's so friggin' out there that you can do all this really cool shit. And that's really attractive, especially to a new set of folks who really don't understand how the system works. So I coached our team. I said, look, here's the deal. This is hard. This is a hard problem. And if we fail, the country cannot fight wars. So I can do cool shit, I can do the same shit, but if I don't do the right shit, it doesn't matter. So throughout our TIMS, throughout our series of interchanges with their customer, we actually trained them, got them to understand how difficult this is. And we didn't whine about it. We simply said, to be able to do this, this is what you need to do. And this is not an easy task, but here's how you do it. So we actually trained up our customer over a period of time. So what that says is sometimes your customers don't understand how hard their problem really is. And that's an opportunity for you to train. I can walk in with a pitch that I've given to 27,000 other guys and say, here's what we do, blah, 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 but I haven't connected. And that's connecting is about intimacy, guys. So I haven't connected with my customer. And so we trained this customer over a period of time and got them to really understand how tough this was. So we became the gold standard. And truthfully, that's what customer intimacy is all about. You become the gold standard. They compare everybody to you. So your mission, when you think about it, when you go in to talk to your customer, when you go in to talk to a new client, when you go in to talk to a prospective client, is how do I become their gold standard? And I don't mean gold-plated, doesn't mean super expensive, but it's got to be so dialed in to their problem set, their risk tolerance set, that you are the axiomatic choice as you move forward with them over to the period of their decision to buy from you. And truthfully, that when you do that, it raises your game to an incredible new level. And by the way, not everybody does it. In fact, most people don't. Most people go in and they say, I've got this ball peen hammer and I'm going to go beat a bunch of nails. And truthfully, does that work for you? And I'd encourage you to ask. I'd ask you to consider asking yourself as you build your briefing, as you're building your strategy to go approach a client, how would I receive this briefing? Let somebody else give your briefing to you. We have a lot of different strategies and techniques that we've developed over time that says, you know, how do I bulletproof my pitch? How do I bulletproof my game? And there's some, you know, very fundamental things you need to do. And one of them is, why would I buy from me? And so I talked on a podcast earlier on Facebook that I posted that said, what we do is, you know, we encourage you to go get somebody who absolutely frigging hates you and give your brief to them. They will rip you apart. They will come up with every single dark and dank question, every single objection. But why wouldn't you want that sort of hardening as you go in? And by the way, that translates to every time you go out, because you build momentum, you build muscle, you build resilience as you start to be able to tackle the tough challenges. I used to make my clients come up and I'd say, come up with the 10 to 100, actually sometimes 100. Toughest questions we could be asked so that when we go in, we're totally prepared. And they could ask you, you know, why is there no gravity here and blah, blah, blah. And you'd have the answer. And because you don't want to be caught off guard, you want to have absolutely stay in your state through the entire time. You want to know and broadcast, if you will, to your clients or your customers a level of confidence and a level of certainty. They know they can count on you. Because why would you go to somebody you can't count on? If I've got a really cool new thing that I've never seen before, some people who just sold me some stuff on ViewGraphs, why do I trust him with my future? Why do I trust him with my career? Why do I trust him with my retirement fund? Why do I trust him with anything I'm doing, with my business decisions, with my life savings? I mean, seriously, that level of intimacy and integrity is so important. And often we just say, well, we're selling our stuff, we get really cool stuff, and it'll sell itself. And I think, you know, as Garrett says, the only thing that sells itself is a Lamborghini, because they don't give a shit. They say, you want the car? Buy the car. You don't want the car? We don't care. And they're very, unless you have an exotic, extremely highly provocative and high performance and no BS, top of the line offering. And God, I hope you do. But we all have work to do. I've got work to do. We all have work to do because, again, we've got to test stuff. We have to stretch. We have to try different things to be able to level and really raise that level of customer intimacy. Because truthfully, I want people to want me. Don't you? And I want to be able to decide who I want to work for. Because if I'm having a conversation with somebody and they don't understand how hard something is, or they don't understand the amount of crap they're in or the amount of challenge they have ahead of them, how can you be successful? If they pick you, can you ever make them heroes? Can you ever help them be successful? So this whole thing about establishing a level of customer intimacy through various conversations, with walking in their shoes, with understanding their world from their perspective, with coming up with different ways to view their risk tolerances. That enables you to have a conversation, whether it's just in 20 minutes or in several meetings. I encourage you to try to do it in 20 minutes because that's the most powerful. But over a period of time, you can instruct them, you can teach them without them feeling they're being taught. But they can have a conversation where they can have realizations and breakthroughs, because a lot of our sales and a lot of our approaches to people is about helping them get their minds around a problem that they may not understand. And because we are the experts, because we've got the backgrounds, because we've done this for years, because we are breaking out, because we are the rainmakers, we understand stuff they don't. And so you can lecture them, probably not a good idea, but you can have a conversation with them and lead them by questions and through conversations to really understand how tough this is. And when the light bulb goes on, by the way, you are the only guy in the whole string of people who want to go pitch this fellow. You're the only guy who has come up and impressed them with the way you think, with the way you do business, with the way you play, and brought to bear. And if they don't get it, wow, do you want that job? Sometimes you don't want that client. And I know we're all out there. It's all about getting paid. I got that. But sometimes the paycheck ain't worth the pay. And that's just the way it is. So we get to choose as entrepreneurs, rainmakers, business developers. We get to choose who we are, who we show up as, and truthfully, who our clients are. Sometimes you got to filter some people out because there's not enough spray paint or lipstick in the world to put lipstick on some of these pigs that people have fallen in love with. Because our clients fall in love with their answers like we do ours, do you think? So part of our job sometimes in that initial sales encounter is to disabuse them of their thoughts, their hallucinations, if you will. And if you can't do that, then how can you possibly coach them? How can you possibly provide them services or products or whatever that helps them get beyond their current grasp? Because truthfully, it's all about stretch, right? We want them to stretch beyond. They have to stretch because we're doing it. We stretch beyond our grasp. That's how you grow. And we are a growth industry. And there's a lot of companies in there who are in a sustainment industry. And sustainment is dying. It really is. In the business I've been in for years, they always talk about the hockey stick, you know, financial forecast. It says, yeah, we're going along flat for a while, and then it just blows through the ceiling. Totally unrealistic, totally crazy, makes no sense. But there is a hockey stick thinking that says, if we keep doing this, here's where we are. If we change these three things, here's where we go. And to be able to counsel people like that, to impress people like that in a very intense, very, very focused sort of set of engagements or a single engagement makes you discriminate yourself from everybody else. It makes you have and demonstrate the level of customer intimacy that's second to none. And truthfully, isn't that what you want to do? I mean, why do you want to be like those guys? Because truthfully, a lot of these, you go into some of these meetings, some people, you sit there, you talk to them, and you can tell they're trying to figure out why you're like somebody else so they don't have to deal with it. And you're sitting there trying to distinguish yourself and say why you're so different from somebody else. So you're sitting there, you're at counter purposes throughout the entire meeting, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. And what a frustrating world to live in. And so it's up to you to control the arena, control the discussion, to really manage the engagement from the get-go, from the minute you open your mouth into the minute you walk out and hopefully close the deal. That's up to you. And so people use view graphs. That's okay if that's what you want to do. Some people like that. But I've always subscribed to the philosophy that says, look, when I go and deal with a customer, I want to show them how I'm going to behave, how I'm going to be, how I'm going to act, how I'm going to lead, because we lead, right? We're business leaders. How I'm going to lead when I'm under contract to you, or I'm running your gig, or I'm working with you to climb Mount Everest or whatever it is. And that's really a different way of looking at the world. Because think about it. Take a look at your last pitch you gave. Or think about the last pitch you received. You were sitting in and you saw the guy up there, talking head, 30 charts, blah, blah. He's up there. Tell me what was on chart 3. Do you remember? Tell me what was on chart 26. Do you remember? What was his bottom line? That you might remember if he did a good job. But I got to tell you, the one thing you do remember is whether the guy was an idiot or whether he knew his stuff, or whether you'd trust him, or whether you'd want to talk to him, or we'd like to see him again, or whether you wouldn't talk to him again if he came and paid you money. And so think about it. Turn your head around. Look in the mirror. That's exactly the environment that we all have to work in. And that's how we need to start assessing customer intimacy, because customer intimacy is a currency that you can't buy. You have to create. You have to make. It's hard work. And customer intimacy is creates momentum. Because once you establish your name, your game, your brand, your identity, your level of commitment, your level of passion, word gets around, you know, as Al Pacino would say. It gets around, you know. And that's what's really going to make the difference and help you get beyond a single one-off kind of an engagement to something that really makes a huge difference for your company, for you, for your team, and enables you to decide, okay, now I want to go do this. Because it's about having choices. Truthfully, it's about having choices. And when you're needy and you're greedy and you need this deal so bad, it's amazing what people do. They do unnatural acts. But when you walk in, you own the arena, you own the game, you show up, you've done the work, you've thought through the problem, and you've thought through how your customer or your potential client sees the world, and you've thought through his pros and cons, his risk quadrants, if you will, and you go in and have that discussion. He knows, A, you've thought about it, B, you're a thought partner, C, you're a real partner, and D, you care. And it, truthfully, guys, we like people who care about us, who want to go to war with us, right? I've got a new mantra I'm starting to use in my company, which is you go to war with your bros. You go work with people who have done the stuff you've done, have shown up like you've shown up, who fought like you fight, and who get what you get. And really, why wouldn't you? You don't want to go in. I mean, there's a reason they have boot camp, right? When you come out of boot camp, you've gone through, you know, the game. And boot camp's not that big a deal anymore. But so then you go through Ranger School, right? You go through Ranger School, those guys would bleed for you. Aren't those the guys you want to go fight for? And then let's not even talk about the SEALs, because those guys are just amazing. But it's all about creating that intimacy with your team. So what if you could have that same level of intimacy, that same level of commitment, that same level of connection with your client? Say you had 50% of that. Would you be happy with that? I would argue you would. So anyway, that's the inaugural radio broadcast for Reframe Your Game. I'm going to do one of these a week, and hopefully I'm going to impart to you the lessons from big business so you can leverage them and avoid the failures and the failure modes that have plagued so many people so many times, and help you accelerate your path and your motion and your trajectory into being an entrepreneur, being a lightning rod, being a business development monster, and just a rainmaker, and creating amazing things to change and reframe your clients' games. With that, God bless you guys. Have a great day.